Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Moment of Empowerment. This is your conference host facilitator, Apostle Myrtle Johnson. Welcome. Truly, it is a pleasure to join you all by way of Blog Talk Radio. Once again, we thank God for his faithfulness unto us in this season. Glory to God. We were in the process of trying to get Prophet Sharif logged in, but the lines are over-consumed, and she's not able to log in. Glory to God. So we're just praying that she's able to get in momentarily or shortly. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and proceed with what God has given unto us to share with you all by way of airwave on today. Father God, it is in the name of Jesus that we do bless you and we magnify your name on today. We just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness unto us. Truly, you are an awesome God. You are a mighty God. You are a magnificent God. You are a God that is worthy to be praised. God, we thank you for this moment of empowerment, Lord God. We thank you for the listeners on today, God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that the word that will go forth on today, God, we pray that it will bless the body of Christ tremendously, Lord God. Even those that are listening by way of the computer now, God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that a transformation will come in their lives. Those that are listening by way of the airwaves, Lord God, we pray, God, that a word will be spoken that will cause them to transition into that place, Lord God, that you are calling them into in this time and in this season. God, we bless you, we magnify you, and we do praise your name on tonight. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we do pray. Amen and glory to God. On this evening, what I'm going to be talking to you all about is the cause of the anointing. Glory to God. We know that we are in a time and in a dispensation when the Lord is truly pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, where we are beginning to see more now than ever that people are beginning to prophesy. God is beginning to give his people dreams and visions like never before. And one thing that we want to just iterate by way of airwaves, even as we are doing this teaching on tonight, that when we begin to walk in that set place that God has predestined for our lives, it is definitely critical and a mandate that we, first of all, do not take it lightly, the call and the mandate and the assignment that the Lord has placed on your lives individually as well as our lives collectively as the body of Christ. One thing that we are finding now, and we see it a lot, is that oftentimes you see that we will get into ministry, but we have not counted the cost of following the Lord Jesus. Truly, there are things that God is speaking to us as leaders, and that he's speaking to us as we begin to operate and walk in the mandate of the fivefold ministry, which is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, as well as the teachers. First of all, the Lord is saying that we can, that we have to operate in a spirit of integrity like never before. That is so very important that we do not misrepresent God at any time, because truly what he is saying to us in this season is requiring that we walk in a greater dimension of his glory. Hallelujah. So on tonight, I'm going to start out by sharing with you a passage of scripture that many of you probably have heard before. And it's coming from the book of Luke, chapter number 14. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 26. And the word of God says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intend to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 1,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the others is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." And I'm going to stop right there. So oftentimes, we do not sit down and count the cost of following the Lord Jesus. We don't count the cost that a lot of times we have to give up things in order to be able to follow Christ. We have to give up people in order to be able to follow Christ. Many will not accept the mandate and assignment that God has given unto you in this season. Many will not operate or walk in the glory of the mandate of God in this hour because, first of all, they're not willing to sit down and see what it is going to entail, see what they're going to have to give up in order to be a true disciple of Christ. When we are a true disciple of Christ, we're not a selfish person with the things of God, but we learn what we got to learn about God, and we go out and we teach others, and we make them also into disciples. Disciples make other disciples. Have we counted the cost that it will require of us in order to be to deny ourselves? Let's take a look at verse number 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. A lot is said right here, even in verse number 26. First of all, we've got to be willing to deny everyone, even ourselves, at the cost of Christ. It says if we are not willing to deny ourselves, that we are not able to be his disciple. 27 says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That simply right there let us know that we're going to go through many trials. We're going to go through tribulations. We're going to go through things in order to walk in the mandate and assignment that Christ has on our life. It is not always going to be an easy thing in order to serve Christ. When we look at the life of Christ, we see that he went through much ridicule. He went through much persecution. He had to be able to endure. Even when he was going up to the cross of Golgotha, and they were leading him up there in order to crucify him, he had to deny himself. He could have called the host of heaven to come and save him at any given moment, but he made an open statement. He said, not my will, Father, but let your will be done. Are we willing to say, Lord, let your will be done? In spite of the persecution, in spite of those that come against me, in spite of the trials, in spite of the tribulations, Lord God, I'm going to do this thing for you, God. Are we willing to pay the cost of the anointing of God that is going to rest on our life in this dispensation that we are now in? Verse number 28 says, For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Is there enough oil in your land? Glory to God. I'm going to throw that question out there today. Are you equipped to finish the assignment that the Lord has given unto you? Are you girded up in prayer? Are you girded up in the Word of God? Do you put on the full armor of God each and every day that you are able to stand against the wiles of the wicked one? What we are seeing now in this dispensation, we are seeing a change in the governmental order of God. And with that, simply I'm saying, the governmental order of God, many that have been in positions were not predestined by God to be in those positions. So what you are seeing now is a rise in the chosen ones, the ones that God has set aside for such a time as this. We're beginning to see them rise up and take their rightful place in the kingdom of God. And as we are beginning to see this even the more, a switching in the offices, a switching in positioning, a switching in the postings in the governmental structure of God throughout the body of Christ, you're going to begin to see even more that the church in general, the corporate man, is going to begin to function the way that God predestined it to function, even from the very beginning. In the garden, when God was creating everything, he placed before man everything that man needed in order to be able to effectively guard that in which he had given unto him, which was the earth. Originally, it was the domain where man could live, where man would rule and govern, and that he would occupy, and that he would function in the territory that God had given unto him. And God gave him dominion, and he gave him the authority to be able to rule. He gave him the authority to be able to occupy and possess everything that was in the earth. The only thing that he did not give him control over was man, but everything else, God gave him dominion over it. As we are beginning to get into the divine alignment of God, you're going to begin to see that the authority as the people of God come back to God's original plan for man in the earth realm, and that's to rule. You're going to begin to see that things are going to begin to function even at a maximized state. Have you counted the cost of the anointing of God? As we think about that, you've got to know the assignment that God has given unto you individually as well as the corporate man. Even as I was sitting before the Lord on today and listening to God speaking and pouring to my spirit that in which he wanted me to release unto you all on tonight, he took me to the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2. And in the book of Habakkuk, he was talking about writing the vision and making it plain. In order to be able to walk in the mandated assignment that God has for you, fully clothed with power and authority to rule and to occupy, to be able to cause change to come in the earth realm that we're living in, God said, write out the vision that I have given to you individually. God has given each one of you all that are listening on tonight a piece to this large, big puzzle, which is called life. And you can make a difference in the earth realm. You can cause change to come in the lives of the people of God. You can cause transition to come. You have the ability to rule whatever vision God has given unto you. In the book of Habakkuk, he told Habakkuk, he said, write it down. Make it plain on tablet. At the appointed time, he said, you will begin to see that which I have spoken to you is going to come to pass. And I'm paraphrasing it. The vision that God has given unto you is for a set time. In other words, God can decree and speak a thing into the earth realm that you are to walk in any one of the fivefold offices, but to be able to fully walk in a maximized, manifested state of the office that God has called you to walk in, it requires that you sit down and that you count the cost of that office, that you count the cost of what it's going to take you in order to be able to cause that in which God has given unto you to come to pass. In other words, God has given many a vision for ministry. However, in order to be able to rule, you've got to be able to first follow. In the garden, Adam and Eve first had to follow the Lord. In the vision that God has given unto you, you've got to be able to take the vision that the Lord has given unto you. And first of all, submit that to God. Thank God for giving you the vision. Just because God gave you the vision do not mean that it's for now. It could mean that the vision that God has given unto you could be, he said, but the vision will not tarry is what the Lord is saying. But have you counted the cost of what it's going to cost you in order to be able to cause that vision to come to pass? If the Lord has called you to the role of ministry, God has given each one of you all a different vision. It may not be that everybody is going to be behind a pulpit or anything like that, but whatever God has called you to, he has anointed you for the assignment that he has given unto you. I encourage you all that are listening on today, never allow someone to tell you that the vision that God gave to you is not for you. God would not give you a vision if he was not going to give you the provisions in order to fulfill that in which he spoke into your spirit. Even in the beginning, the earth was a vision that God had even before he created it. Man was a vision. Man was a created being that was created from dust. Whatever God has given unto you, you have to be able to sit down, write it out, and count the cost of what it's going to cost you in order to be able to get there. Just like in the natural, if you're going to be a school teacher, you have to go to school, you have to be taught, you have to be nurtured, you have to go out trained, you have to become equipped in order to be able to go into the school system and teach the children. It's the same thing with God. God is not going to call you to something and just throw you into it without the proper training. That is a setup for failure. But God is going to call you into it Then he's going to let you know what you've got to do in order to cause what he has given to you to be fulfilled, which is going to be that, first of all, as a people, we have to walk in obedience unto God. We have to be in that place that God has called us to, doing what God has called us to do at that appointed time. A delayed obedience is disobedience unto God. You have to walk in a spirit of integrity. If you're going to represent God, we cannot say one thing and do something else and live a whole different way. But our words have to line up with our actions, and our actions have to line up with the word of God. We can't tell people that we're going to do something and then not follow through with what we say we're going to do. That is a lack of integrity. When we say that we're representing God, but our life is totally contrary, we're not in position to do what God has called us to do. We're not faithful unto God. We're not committed to God. Can God trust you with the anointing? Can he give it to you and be sure that you're going to handle what he has given you well? A lot of times what we see is that God has entrusted many things to us, but we are not faithful stewards over that in which God has given unto us. A prime example of that would be the silly virgins that were in the book of Matthew. And I'm not going to go into it and read it for time's sake, but I'm just basically going to tell you what that passage of scripture was about. With the silly virgins, the Lord had given them oil, and they could, and they had oil in their lamps. But what was happening with the silly virgins was that they were wasting what God had given unto them. The oil and the anointing on your life, people of God, is valuable. So when the time came that the bridegroom showed silly virgins did not have any oil to give because nothing was there, they wasted what God had given unto them. We don't want that to be our portion. We don't want God to anoint us and then we waste it because we won't utilize what he has given unto us. Too many times in the body of Christ, I see people that God has anointed and he's called with a purpose and a plan, but because others cannot see what God is trying to do in their life, they bow to the peer pressure that comes with serving man and not God. God is saying, he's speaking on today, who will you obey? Will you obey God or will you allow man to control your destiny? Will you allow man to stop you from walking in the set place and the things that God has for your life? Have you counted the cost of following God? Have you counted the cost that sometimes you've got to be willing to let folks go? You've got to be willing to say, my season with you is over. I was thinking on today, even as I was sitting there and I was praying unto the Lord, and the Lord was just bringing to my attention, a lot of times we see that many have counted the cost, but they try to wait for somebody else to catch up with what God is doing in their life. We need to understand that our walk with God is just that, our walk with God. Each person has to check out their own soul salvation. So why are you waiting? Why are you waiting for your family to accept the call that God has on your life? Why are you waiting for your friends to approve of the assignment that God has given unto you? Sometimes they will never understand what God is doing in your life. Sometimes they will never approve of it. Sometimes they will say it don't take all that. Sometimes they all will turn on you. But we need to know and understand that we are never alone because God is always with us. He is forever. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. Even when we're going through and we've counted the cost of serving him, we've accepted our assignments from the Lord. Now God is saying, be joyful. Glory to God. Be joyful about what God is doing in your life. He could have chose anybody for this assignment, but he chose you because you were special in his eyesight. But this particular job is just like having the perfect job. It is set aside and is waiting for you. God is saying, the place that I have for you in the body of Christ, nobody else can fill that perfect spot. Nobody else can be an Apostle Myrtle. Nobody else can be you. be you and live the life empowered and ready to go and take over this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are on the move now, and we are so excited about what God is doing. We are making more disciples, and we are learning more about God. We're taking what we know, and we're sharing it. Evangelism is a main part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Lord blessed us, we go and tell somebody else about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We are kingdom citizens. Therefore, we have a right to be blessed. We have a right to rule. We have a right to occupy. We have a right to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We are children of the highmost King. We have counted the cost in serving him. And we can willfully say yes to the Lord. Always saying a willful yes to God. Always saying, God, whatever your will is, I'm willing to follow you. If I've got to lose my life to serve you, God, I am willing to walk into the enemy's camp with my head held high, knowing I was created for this. I'm anointed for my assignment. I can do what God has called me to do. I am who God say that I am. I have the ability to rule. I have the ability to occupy. I have the ability to fulfill the call and the plan that God had for my life. Even in this particular passage of scripture, in the book of Luke, the Lord went on and he said, in verse number 31, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? I was like, God, what are you saying with this? He said, if I be for you, I am more than the whole world against you. Sometimes you may feel that you're all by yourself and it feels like the world is caving in. I don't know if you've ever been in that place before, but I found myself in that place before where it felt like I was all alone. But it is then that I am reminded that it's then that God is carrying me. When I can't see one set of footprints in the sand, it is then, just like the psalmist wrote, he said it was then that God was carrying you. God is carrying you when you are a true disciple of God. You may feel that you're alone, but it's not that he has left you. It is then that he is carrying you. It's during that time when you are at your peak of spiritual warfare and you're battling for the call and the plan that God has for your life. Don't ever think that the enemy is going to just allow you to walk into your season of greater. You've got to rule, you've got to occupy, and you've got to possess the land that God has predestined for you to occupy and reign and rule in. The thing was, even back in the garden, Adam and Eve gave it over to Satan. He didn't even really have to take it from them. He tricked them and got them to come into agreement with the lie that he presented before them. People of God, stop allowing the enemy to present lies before you to make and twist the words and to gear it towards their own selfish means but take you away from the things of God. That's the war that we battle in the realm of the spirit. And because Adam and Eve gave in, they lost their dominion. They lost their place of authority. They lost what God had given unto them. And then the Father had to send the Son in order to go and take back the keys of the kingdom from the enemy. Jesus went and took back the keys for you and for me. He took them back so that we can walk in that place that God had prepared for us. I hear the Lord saying even on today, pull up to the table, saints of God, and eat what I have prepared for you. He said, I have prepared a full course meal laid out right in front of you. All you've got to do is walk into that set place. That God's provision is not going to keep on tarrying. It may tarry for a little while. God may have shown you things 10, 15 years ago, but God is saying, now these things are getting ready to come to pass that I have shown unto you. He said, I'm doing a new thing in your life even now. He said, old things are passing away. All things are becoming anew. He said, I'm making you a new creature. He said, I'm changing the way that you think. And because God is doing a work on the inside of you, because you have chosen to pick up your cross and follow God, yes, you had to go through some things. But God said you're coming out of that season of struggle. You're coming out of that season of lack. I prophesy to you, even by way of airways, that you shall possess and you shall be all that God predestined you to be. You shall fulfill the mandated assignment that God has on your life. Yes, they're coming against you. But God said when they come against you, he said, keep on standing. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. Keep on knowing that I am Elohim, the all-sufficient God. He said, the battle is not yours, but it's mine. Those things that are coming against you, those principalities, the warfare that you are enduring because God has called you to a set place. The enemy cannot prevail against you, glory to God. All you've got to do is stand flat-footed, barefooted, knowing that you are created and you are anointed. You have counted the cost for your all. You've paid the price. You've gone through the struggle. You've gone through the ridicule. You've gone through the persecution. And now it is time for you to walk in a greater level of God's glory. The Lord is saying unto us, we're going to begin to walk in greater dimensions than we've ever walked in before. We are beginning to embark on a total whole new dispensation in God. But we're going to see the miraculous more now than ever. God said before we can even speak it, he said we're going to begin to see things begin to manifest. Now is not the time, people of God, not to continue building. We've got to be just like this builder was here in the book of Luke when Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said, you've got to keep on building. That is an apostolic succession that you continue to build and that you never stop building for God. Because it's at that time when you build, when you're building, that the enemy can't find you in the spirit. In this time and in this season, the enemy may be trying to do some things, but he can't even find you in the spirit because it's now that the hand of God is covering you in a greater magnitude than ever before. That in which God has spoken, we're going to see it come to pass. Can't no devil in hell stop God from doing what he's doing in your life. Right here, the Bible goes on and it says, or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. God is even sending out a call to those that have come against you for peace. The choice will be theirs whether or not they accept the peace call that the Lord is sending out. It's just like a shamrock call that's going out. Make peace with the builders in this season, because the builders are going to be the one that are going to cause a dispensation of change in this earth realm. We're the ones. We are the chosen ones. You are the royal priesthood. You are the ones that God is saying, rise up, prophets of God. Rise up, apostles. Rise up, pastors, and occupy your faith. Many have been holding the faith until you got there. But once you get there, you're going to realize that this is a set place that God has predestined for you. And when you walk in, they're going to give up their spot so that you can possess and that you can occupy. Glory to God. It's my prayer that this teaching has blessed you on today. It's my prayer that you are empowered, that you have a whole new zeal to move forward in the things of God, and that you will make up your mind that you will not allow anyone, anything to hinder you, to stop you, or to block you, but that you're going to move forward in the greater anointing of God. You all do be blessed and join us again on next Tuesday by way of airwaves as we conquer the kingdom of darkness with the word of God. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus that I bless you. I praise your name for every listener, God, that is listening by way of airwaves on today. And God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to propel them forward to even a greater dimension of your glory. Let them experience you, God, in ways that they've never experienced you before. I call forth the prophets to arise today. I call forth the apostles to arise today. Every pastor, every evangelist, every teacher, I call you forth to rise and occupy the kingdom of God like never before, in power and with authority and with dominion. Do be blessed. Know that I love you all with the love of the Lord as well as my own love. Meet me back here on next week by way of Blog Talk Radio. Until then, be blessed.